across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06, and nice to have you here on this Monday morning, September 16th, 50 days until Election Day. And coming up this hour, physician Chris Ford is going to be talking about us. He put an op-ed in the Cap Times recently about how Wisconsin is well overdue to expand the Medicaid program and provide more stable, affordable health care coverage to more working families across Wisconsin. We will talk about that in just a little bit. Now we have Dr. Kristen Lyerly here as well, candidate for Congress in the 8th District. We have Selena Heller from Up North News, who's going to talk about some of the stories she's working on in a little bit here. And we have, in just a moment, the return of meteorologist Brittany Merlot. But first, just a private message just from me to all the people who won Emmys last night and who might win Oscars in the future or who might win Tonys in the future. Write a speech. I'm so sick of people. Oh, I didn't write anything. I don't know who to thank. I didn't think I'd actually win. You are one of five nominees. You had a chance to win. Write a speech.
Okay, Boomer.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the program. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. I missed you guys. I hope you've been enjoying this beautiful weather.
Well, oh, my gosh. Yes.
You couldn't have picked a quieter week, so thank you for that. We had nobody threw curveballs at us otherwise. We're just like, it's sunny and warm. That's it. That's what you need to know, right?
That's perfect. I go out of commission and the weather just stays steady. I like
it. See? I like
that's
it.
That's how you know you're a big deal, Brittany.
Yep.
Oh, thank you.
The weather behaves. So how much longer are we going to get this?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think I could take the rest of this week off, too, if
needed.
No, I won't. I missed you guys way too much to do that. But high-pressure systems still dominating it in place. So we have two of them. One is sitting over in Missouri. One is sitting in Ohio. And they're going to sit there throughout the entire week. We don't see any movement of them until we approach the weekend. So that means all rain chances hold off until about Thursday night or Friday. We're going to sit here in the upper 80s for today and tomorrow. And the good news is that humidity has left. So it's a much more comfortable upper 80s with abundant sunshine. And again, like I said, 2 days of that. It'll continue for the entire week, but we will drop to the low 80s from Wednesday on.
Did you, I don't know how much of the Packer game you caught, but you know it was one of the warmest, or we could actually say hottest days ever for football at Lambeau Field.
It was a sweaty tundra instead of the frozen one, right?
Right, but it wasn't just sweat on the football.
I heard, right?
Yeah. Apparently, at one point, quarterback Malik Willis was supposed to, it was supposed to be a passing play. And instead, it became a running play. And Coach LaFleur asked him, why didn't you throw? And then as we see in the replays, as these very large football players are playing in very hot weather, right before hiking the ball, center Josh Myers projectile vomited all over the football.
Oh.
And then imagine you're the quarterback getting that. And you're like, are you going to try to throw that thing? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what the rules are on Stick'Em, but anyway, he decided to run with it instead. So.
Just so much a shotgun, it was an upchuck.
Better,
very nice. So, a little warm for football, but
I agree.
But for everything else, so nice and so nice to see you. I almost forgot about Rob from Tigerton. Well, here's why: because our Facebook streams don't appear to be working right, and yet our YouTube one is. And okay. So Tony right away noted that Rob has found us on YouTube and welcomes you back, and then says, "Rob from Tigerton here." Like we weren't going to know it was you. Come on, Rob. Sun is coming up, 59 degrees. I had a relaxing weekend working around the home. Doctor's appointment today after my mowing job in the town of Germania. And Alicia also noticed that she moved over to YouTube as well to find us. And Roger from Stevens Point did to note the passing of Tito Jackson from the Jackson 5, who passed away over the weekend as well.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah, I know. So everybody coming over to YouTube, we appreciate it very much, unless you're hearing us, of course, through the Civic Media app or the Civic Media Radio Network. And thank you all for being here to welcome back Ms. Merlot to the program. Brittany, have a wonderful day.
Thank all right. you, too.
Have a great day. We'll see you later on. The Brewers had quite the roller coaster game yesterday, wrapping up their road trip in Arizona. And in the end, losing in extra innings. Final score there was 11-10. The game was tied at 8 heading into extras. The Brewers scored 2 in the top of the 10th, but Arizona scored 3 in the bottom of the inning. The Brewers' magic number is still 3, so they could clinch the division as early as tomorrow. But they now open up a 7-game homestand, starting with 3 against the Phillies. All 3 games, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. First pitch is at 6:40, so the pregame should start at either 6:05 or 6:10 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls. Badgers lost to Alabama. They also lost their quarterback. Van Dyke went down during the first series of plays. And Kristen, you know this from all the games at Lambeau Field, the Alabama fans who made it up could not stop raving about how wonderfully friendly all the Wisconsinites were, all the Badger fans and everything. And I know it's always a little bittersweet, like, you know, when you lose and when you lose big. But frankly, that would have been the case anyway, that we just have, and you hear this in every sport, we have the most welcoming folks when opposition fans come to town.
We do. And, you know, as a former college mascot, I feel a little bit like an expert when it comes to college football.
Yes,
and my son went to Alabama, so I've been to Tuscaloosa. That campus is made for football. Those people know how to do football like nobody else. Like, you cannot deny the fact that Alabama is the college football team. So mm-hmm. to hear them appreciate us for what we know to be true, like, we are good fans and we are welcoming and we enjoy the other teams, I think that is a real compliment.
Oh, we're just good. We're good Midwestern hosts, Selena. I mean, when people come, it's like, oh, come on in, we'll put some snacks out for you. The Badger band is one of only a couple left, I guess, that in the pregame will play the other team's fight song to welcome them. They formed, after they formed the big W, they formed an A for Alabama. And again, it was blowing the other fans away. It's like, wait a minute, why are you being so nice to us? It's like,
where are Badger band is generally not known for being that nice.
What's that?
The Badger band is generally not known for being that nice.
Well,
they're spicy.
They are spicy. Yes, that part is true. Selena, as we get back into some of the news of the day here, it includes the enthusiasm around this election campaign, and it manifests itself in different ways. I know that here on Lake Wissota, there are a couple of people who, for reasons that they can tell you about, not only is there an American flag flying off the back of their boat, but some form of a Trump flag is flying off of there as well. But really, the main thing is lawn signs. And you talked to one of the most wonderful people who works at the Eau Claire County Democratic Party office about what the demand has been like for lawn signs.
Oh my gosh. When I ran down there last week and people were just coming, just showing up at the door. And then the Harris Wall signs were coming like probably today. So they had to tell them Monday. So they were getting a big batch from the campaign probably today. And the phone was ringing off the hook and it was just a lot going on. They have a coffee clutch there when I was there. And so the office had a lot of activity.
Yeah, Gloria Hochstein has been there forever and was talking to you about the enthusiasm for signs.
Yes, and have you seen funny ones? There was one. There's a sign that says, "We're not perfect, but they're nuts."
Well, there is.
My favorites are with cats, though. Those are funny. You have to order those.
Give a listen to what Gloria had to say.
You can always find out who is the chair of a county office by just going to the WIS Dems website, and you will get the phone number and the email for usually whoever's in charge of their signs too. We do not charge for signs. We do accept donations because that lets us buy more. But if you're gonna go to Etsy or Amazon or someplace and order signs, there are signs all over the place. And you can, it'll cost you a little bit more, but they'll be sent to you, so that's another option. Our signs will be candidate signs, and the other signs we have say, vote for Democrats, they vote for us, and Truth Matters, vote blue. Some people have more direct things they want to say. We don't give those signs away, but we don't discourage people from expressing their opinions.
Kristen, I could talk all day about how gratifying it is when you go to put up signs and people say yes, but you've lived this and you're living it right now.
It just feels so good. We actually did a thing up here in northern Minnesota last week, and a fella came up to me and said, I was just in Door County and your signs are all over the place. And you know, there's something about that outward expression that it just feels so good. Even when I was driving up on Highway 53, people were making handmade Harris signs, giant pieces of like 4x8 Harris
plywood,
signs that were home at plywood.
Yep.
It was so cool to see how motivated people are and how driven they are to show their allegiance and to just get their voices out there.
And each one's done basically at the county party level, and different county parties are more active than others. Douglas County especially, I saw the photos recently. It's the same house, the same driveway, where a guy will make these stencils for 4x6 sheets of plywood or corrugated cardboard, whatever, and then people will paint the signs using these big stencils, and other counties do other similar things. Others, Selena, like in Eau Claire, they just get the pre-made ones, but then you need a stapling party because you're stapling them. You know, you fold them and then staple them onto the wire frames. And, yes. And by the way, Selena, I don't know if they told you this. The thing about lawn signs, those wire frames, I think we all know, you know, from recycling and everything else, those are the most valuable part. So when you're all done, take care of those wires. You can either use them for a future election or you can just get them recycled. But best of all, take them back to your county party office. And that goes true, you know, for Republicans as well as Democrats, so that again, they can just be recycled and used. When we come back, Selena's going to have a more serious story about National Suicide Prevention Month. Kristen's got a runoff, but we will see her again next Monday with more talk about her congressional campaign and whatever else is in the news. Kristen's always great to see you. Safe travels.
Thank you. Happy Monday, guys.
Happy Monday.
And still ahead, we'll talk to Dr. Chris Ford about expanding Medicaid. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Nick Jonas is 32 years old today. You can get the Up North News daily newsletter heading over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click on subscribe in the top banner, and you'll see a story there today about Hispanic Heritage Month and supporting local Latino business owners and how you can learn more about them through one Wisconsin-based website. We also have a link at the bottom of today's newsletter to last week's radio show discussion on the foreign government deposits in Eric Hovde's bank and why that should matter more than what he's letting on when he dismissed it, saying, who cares? There are reasons to care. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com to learn more about that. Selena Heller is with us now, continuing to share with us some of the stories that she works on for Up North News that you can find on social media, in our newsletter, or on the website as well. And with this being National Suicide Prevention Month, it is, you know, there's no bad time to bring this up, but it is especially noteworthy to talk to folks about the alternatives, the options, you know, the way that resources are better publicized than they were, you know, not that terribly long ago, Selena, and you were at a recent event where somebody had a booth dedicated to this?
Yes, it was the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and the Wisconsin chapter. And while we were there, there was a lot of people showing up to this booth and just chit-chatting. And,
what was the event again? It was Pride Month?
It was a Pride event, yep.
And during Pride
Month here in Eau Claire. Okay. Uh-huh. And Janelle Moneypenny was at that event, and she was a volunteer on the board there. And it's interesting, and you'll hear her talk about that, that people are stopping by. And before it was, you know, it was kind of,
taboo.
We don't stop by that. Right. Yeah. It was taboo. And you know, as she was talking about that, I thought, you know, that's interesting. I kind of envisioned that happening. And she said, but it things are changing now, and you can talk about it. And this is Janelle. She's got quite of a story of her own. She's got a history of her niece, unfortunately, committed suicide or had suicide happen with her, and then some other family members were in lots of things. She's just had a history, so that's why she wanted to be a part of this foundation.
I have heard so many people's stories. I've had so many people stop and just tell me how they've experienced struggles, or they've had recent attempts, or they've lost friends or family members. And just knowing that there are organizations like this out there trying to help prevent that from happening to other families is very worthwhile and meaningful. I've been involved in this organization since 2018. Like every year I get to meet so many people and just see, especially at events like this, how suicide has affected them, and just give little pieces of hope to people throughout the day. I believe that there is absolutely hope in the future. One significant shift that I have seen is that we're able to talk about it. The first few years I did this booth here, you would see people walk by and like turn their head real fast. They didn't even want to acknowledge it. It was like that black cloud on the day. And now that is changing, and I'm hearing more people say, you know, I'm really glad that there's organizations like this so that it's okay to talk about it and really get the word out there. So there has been a huge shift, but we still have so much more work to do.
So yeah, it was neat to see, you know, people talking about it and stopping and wanting to just chat and find out information and resources. And of course that foundation is a good resource, and they have a lot of information on their social media pages and how to handle things and how to talk to someone, or if you are having issues yourself, what to do. So there's a lot of great information out there.
And we could tell even a moment ago when you were wrestling with the phrase, mm-hmm. and we talked about this last week in the newsletter, a story about how when we say committed suicide.
I know, that's why I tried to change it.
Right, but we've used that for so long, forgetting that actually attaches a stigma to it, and that it's not like just some one-time decision. There are all of these complex factors involving depression and other things that are at work here. And to make sure that people understand that people died from suicide more so than that they committed it, and that there are these resources out there.
Right. I know. And that's what's been said for so long. And then to try to change that, it's a whole different mindset. You have to kind of go into all of this thinking differently. And so many people have been affected by these things. And so it's we should talk about it more.
Yeah. And I'm glad that we do, and glad that you had a chance to bring us that audio from Pride Fest there. Selena Heller, you can catch your stories at upnorthnewswi.com and on social media. Selena, thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right, covering some of the other headlines from the weekend that we wanted to get back to in case you missed it during our first hour. And again, if you missed an hour, just head over to civicmedia.us. Each of our episodes, each hour, is turned into a podcast episode that you can listen back to on the website or in podcast form. And one of the more unusual stories was Donald Trump's running mate, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, admitting to making up all the cats and dogs stories about migrants, that in his mind, there is a problem with migration. There are problems with immigrants, even though they're the ones taking jobs that many Americans won't do. And even though their rate of crime is far lower than that of non-migrants. But again, in an attempt to fearmonger, he says to Dana Bash on CNN yesterday, quote, "If I have to create stories so that the American media actually pays attention to the suffering of the American people, then that's what I'm going to do. Then that's what I'm going to do, is create stories so the American media actually pays attention. And then you have Donald Trump tweeting, "I hate Taylor Swift." Again, getting people talking about the dog and cat stories, the childless cat ladies, Taylor Swift. And what does that do? It takes us away from the terrible performance by Donald Trump at the debate when he said, when asked about, you know, why do you still not have a health plan after 9 years? And he says, well, I have the concepts of a plan. And he's never had an immigration reform plan. He has killed a bipartisan immigration and border security plan. So that the only thing they really can do at this point is start to gin up anti-migrant sentiment and essentially hope that enough white people are scared or otherwise motivated to support them. And it doesn't appear to be working. Kamala Harris continues to have a lead in the polls. And the latest, and again, usual disclaimer, every poll is one snapshot from one point, but the Des Moines Register showing that in ruby red Iowa, Donald Trump's lead over Kamala Harris is now down to 3 points. So within the poll's margin of error. And so while it would certainly seem to behoove J.D. Vance and Donald Trump to stop talking about migrants and making up stories and ginning up violent rhetoric, which leads to potential apparent assassination attempts, they seem to think the only place that they can go is on this path of continuing to, as J.D. Vance says, create stories so that the American media actually pays attention. He says so that the American media actually pays attention to the suffering of the American people. I think what he really meant to say is we have to create stories so that the American media actually pays attention to us. Chris Ford's going to join us about the need to expand badger care here in Wisconsin. Next, you're up north. Singer Richard Marks is 61 years old today. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow here in Chippewa Falls, coming up on 7:35 on this Monday morning, September 16th. We have spoken with emergency physician Chris Ford previously about some important reasons why healthcare increasingly becomes a topic in news and politics far more than it should be. But it's because there are decisions that are being made that may be harmful to public health, or decisions that should be made that could do better by public health. One of the prime examples here in Wisconsin deals with Medicaid, which, you know, is the program that provides stable and affordable health insurance to lower income working families. Not to be confused with Medicare, which is essentially the pension program for America's seniors who pay into it their whole life and don't have to face poverty in their old age. That's Medicare. Medicaid is about health insurance for more people. It was expanded greatly under the Affordable Care Act. But different states could either encourage or limit that growth of Medicaid as they wish. And Wisconsin is one of only a few remaining states that has kept a Republican majority in its legislature for these past 14 years now and has steadfastly refused to expand Medicaid, which has been not good for public health and not good from a fiscal standpoint either. So let's bring in Dr. Chris Ford now to talk a bit more about his column that I saw in the Cap Times recently, saying the headline on it, "It's past time for Wisconsin to expand Medicaid." Chris Ford, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. How's it going? Thanks for having me on again.
It's my pleasure. We noted the 59-year anniversary a few weeks back of President Lyndon Johnson signing Medicare, Medicaid into law. And that's how you opened up your op-ed as well, talking about it providing a lifeline to seniors and family and children and people with disabilities. And so even though we want to talk about policy and healthcare, we almost kind of have to start with a history lesson that too many people are forgetting why these bills got passed, why Social Security got passed. In other words, how bad things were in the old days that these programs have helped.
Yeah, and you know, that is exactly it, right? And so if we take a look at all of these policies that have been in place, you know, as you said, before 60 years ago, about half of the nation's seniors lacked health care insurance. You know, that's over, you know, 65 million seniors today that we have, you know, that are now on Medicare, thanks to that legislation. And so even with that, even with Medicaid being in place, Badger Care here in the state of Wisconsin, there's still nearly one in five Americans that include low-income families that need this program, that rely on this program just to have the basic medical care. So the basics to have their daily medications for hypertension, insulin, things of that nature. And so, you know, it is really humbling to know how recent that was, that we were in such dire straits. And, you know, there's room to go. There's a lot of room that we can move in order to help push forward more access to care for many of the patients that I see daily.
If when people ask, you know, why hasn't Wisconsin expanded Medicaid yet? What's the holdup? The holdup is you know, legislative leadership that now says something out loud that they used to try not to say out loud. They thought it wouldn't be, you know, politically correct or whatever. But they just come right out and say it now. They say Medicaid is welfare, and that they don't want to expand welfare. And it just seems to me to show some kind of a disconnect between elected office and public health policy.
Yeah, and you know, it's unfortunate. As an emergency medicine doctor, I see kind of firsthand the profound impact that not having access to care has for our patients. Specifically in the ER, fortunately, we are in a position in which we are bounded by EMTALA, which is the Emergency Treatment Medical and Active Labor Act. And so essentially what that does is it refuses the right to refuse care for patients. For hospitals. So hospitals have to take patients. Hospitals have to see you and can't say, let me see your insurance card first, right? And I wouldn't want to practice in a specialty that did not allow that treatment of patients who could not afford to pay. But the reality of it is that many patients that I see don't want to be in the emergency department. They don't want to be there. They wish they could be at their primary care doctor's office. They wish that they could have access to insulin, have access to heart failure medications that can prevent them from needing to see me in the emergency department, from needing to be admitted to the ICUs. And so, you know, a lot of politicians who make these blanket statements do so from a place of ignorance, and they do so from a place of not knowing how direly their patients and their constituents need this bill in place.
And part of it involves this talking point that says, well, rather than, you know, quote unquote, government health care, more should be done with the private sector, with private insurance companies. Well, that's exactly what the Affordable Care Act does, is it makes private insurance coverage more affordable. And that this Medicaid expansion was, you know, simply another option to come at this from the most basic equation, Dr. Ford, that if you treat things right away when they're small, it costs taxpayers and ratepayers a lot less than waiting till it gets very bad and very expensive, and people wait till it's very bad because they can't afford the insurance.
Absolutely. You know, the ounce of prevention at it, right? So essentially what we're trying to do is we're trying to extend that care, specifically that demographic that you're talking about, right? The goal of Medicaid expansion is to expand care to the federal poverty line up to 138%. And then by doing that, you're going to have patients who are now going to be able to afford their medications. You're going to have the expansion of healthcare available to new moms who don't have the funds or the means to afford follow-up appointments. And so that expands from now, which is at 60 days, up to a year in time, in which we know women are at highest risk for complications, especially if you have any pre-existing conditions. And so in lieu of having them present to the emergency departments or present to the hospitals in extremis, why not nip it in the bud right now? Why not provide that care to prevent them from ending up in those situations where we're harming our patients and we're harming our neighbors?
And by the way, it includes a host of parts of medicine that are essential here. We're talking preventive care, medications, but also chronic disease management and behavioral health services. And I mean, those two things alone would be, you know, would make financial sense from a state standpoint. If you could better manage chronic diseases and behavioral health services, what that would do to bring down the level of uncompensated care that hospitals have to deal with.
Absolutely. And that's a big point, too. A lot of times folks don't realize how much goes into it, not only for behavioral health, but also for substance abuse disorders, things of that nature. And so that is what we are seeing throughout the country and throughout the state. I have had patients, unfortunately, that I've had to turn away that did not qualify for specific mental health complexes here in our state because of their insurance or lack thereof, right? And so that is disheartening as a provider. I have a patient who's coming to me at the worst time of their lives, and I have to turn around and say, I'm sorry, you know, the county facilities are booked, you know, whatever private facility won't take your insurance, and, you know, best of luck for you. You know, we are past that time. It is inhumane, and we need to push forward and fight for everyone here in the state.
And by the way, if those folks end up going to emergency rooms instead of their regular doctor's office, it costs so much more. And one stat from your column that really jumped out at me was that the share of enrollees relying on the ER as their regular source of care dropped from 16.2% to 1.7% after enrollment in Medicaid. You drop the level of ER necessity that much, and again, you're always going to come out ahead from both a financial and a healthcare standpoint. This is not rocket science.
Yeah, and that stat was taken directly from Michigan, right? So these are not hypothetical numbers. These are numbers that we're seeing in other states throughout the country. Again, Wisconsin is one of 10 states that has not expanded Medicaid. And in those states that we have seen expansion, we've not only seen that drop in ED utilizations, we've also seen the drop in patients who have availability to, you know, seek primary care. They drop from not having a primary care doctor 7% down to 1%. Right. And so those effects are profound down the road. We see decreased utilization in the ER. We see decreased need for emergency care. And again, that uncompensated care or that care that is covered either by the taxpayers or covered by the hospitals are now levied. Right. So now you don't have to worry about a large sum of money going to those to that demographic. And so you can save closures of hospitals. You can provide more access to primary care doctors in rural as well as in urban communities, in which we have healthcare deserts, essentially, where patients cannot seek care even if they wanted to have care, even if they had insurance. So this affects everyone. We all have more in common than we don't.
So we end up in Wisconsin with the potential to have, you know, we could have had savings of $1.6 billion had Wisconsin accepted the federal funds to expand Medicaid. But of course, the more human number here rather than the dollars is the additional 90,000 people in Wisconsin that would have, as I like to say all the time, they would simply have more stable coverage. They would have more affordable coverage. And really, that should be the bipartisan goal everywhere, is that nobody's looking necessarily for handouts, but they want things affordable. They want things stable. And by stable, of course, you know, as any doctor knows, how easily private and for-profit insurance companies can end up jerking people around, either the patients who've been paying their rates, but then get told they're not covered, or docs like you who realize that something's been dropped and you're like, who made this decision? Who decided that this is not something we want to cover? And you have to wonder how much of it is a fiscal decision rather than a medical decision by those insurance companies.
Absolutely. And you said the key thing there was that, you know, this is something that has bipartisan support. 70% of Wisconsinites have stated that they are in favor of Medicaid expansion. And that's 97% of Democrats, about 60 to 70% of independents, and 49% of Republicans. And so the fact that we all kind of see this on the head as an issue that is feasible and that is benefit patients in the state of Wisconsin, and that we've seen be beneficial in other states, there is no reason why we cannot expand Medicaid for the betterment of everyone.
We're talking to Dr. Chris Ford, an emergency medicine physician from the Milwaukee area here on Up North News Radio. We're talking primarily about Medicaid, but we've talked to you previously about some other matters as well, and you've taken part in certain events that help promote good healthcare policy. For example, the Inflation Reduction Act, which so much of our conversation revolves around the clean energy components of it, but there are multiple things that make up the Inflation Reduction Act. And one of them is the amount of insulin savings that has been seen by just that one provision of capping insulin costs, Dr. Ford.
Yeah. And so, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act, unfortunately, was able to, I was invited to the White House recently to celebrate this, the 2-year anniversary of the Inflation Reduction Act. And I would say the things that we're seeing right now that have been a benefit to the IRA are yet to come. And so we're seeing the capping of insulin at $35. Now, that is tremendously, you know, invaluable for our patients that we're going to see coming forward. And so essentially, you know, you take that cost and you reduce it for patients who are on a limited spending budget for the month. And then you're removing that, you know, that insulin being out of their reach. So patients no longer have to choose between, am I going to take my insulin or am I going to be able to pay my rent or am I going to be able to afford food, et cetera, right? And so patients on the whole that see me in the emergency department for complications of their diabetes, complications of whatever their ailment is, they don't want to be there again. They want to take their medications and they want to have access to it. But if we remove that hurdle, then we are going in the right direction.
Yeah, and as noted, in one of these events, you said that over 30,000 Wisconsinites saved an average of $630 a year when insulin was capped at $35 a month. Saving $630 a year for 30,000 Wisconsinites, that's a big deal for a lot of folks on fixed incomes.
Absolutely. And that's tangible. And if we look forward into January of 2025, that's going to be expanded even further, especially for our elders and for our seniors. What we're going to see is we're going to see a capping of $2,000 a year of their medications. Now, again, for someone on fixed income, someone who has worked their entire lives or are currently still working, that's the difference between retirement and not. That's the difference between, again, affording all of your basics in life or affording your medications. And so, you know, we're excited to continue to push forward, and we need to get folks in office that are for the betterment of our health and the betterment of our patients.
Yes, as well as making sure that we restore bodily autonomy to women's reproductive health care rights. That and so much more that we like to visit with Chris Ford on. Thank you so much, Dr. Ford. Appreciate it. Have a great week.
Thank you, Pat. You as well.
All right. Take care. Terry Bell has 3 things you need to know to start the week. Coming up next, you're Up North. Tomorrow on the program, we'll be talking to Tricia Zunker from the Wausau area about some more of the things that a more responsive state legislature could be doing in areas like helping with childcare, for example, and paid family leave. So that'll be tomorrow here on Up North News Radio. Such a busy day. We hardly touched on a few stories here, and thankfully, Civic Media News Director Terry Bell is here to help us take care of that with 3 things you need to know to start the week. Terry, how are you?
I'm good, Pat. How are you?
I was fine until 5 minutes ago when it occurred as this mosquito was flying around and I was just went and swatted away. And it was like a few seconds after that, my ankles started itching like something. So something apparently has been feasting on me during the show that I'm just starting to become aware of. So I'm going to let you do 3 things while I continue to itch and scratch my ankles down here, starting with the fact that campaign activity in Wisconsin, there's no let up. You had the vice presidential nominee, Tim Walz in Wausau and Superior this weekend, but the visits just roll right on.
Yeah, absolutely. So J.D. Vance will be in your neck of the woods, Pat. Tomorrow he's scheduled to be in Eau Claire, delivering remarks at the Eau Claire Event District. For anyone interested in going, that's at 4:30 in the afternoon. Doors will open at 1:30. So that is J.D. Vance in Eau Claire tomorrow late in the afternoon. Also, we know already that Tim Walz was in Wisconsin in Wausau on Friday and Superior on Saturday. And we got word over the weekend that Vice President Kamala Harris will be back in Wisconsin on Friday. This will be her 4th trip to Wisconsin in an effort to rally up any remaining undecided voters. Harris's focus is on parts of Wisconsin that Joe Biden successfully flipped from Republicans in 2020. So we're all very interested in knowing where the vice president will be on Friday, and we expect to hear where that will be exactly in the days to come.
And I don't know where J.D. Vance is today before he comes to the Chippewa Valley tomorrow. But I think tomorrow there will still be interest in whatever he has to say about what the remarks he's made about, you know, Haitian migrants in Ohio, Taylor Swift, you know, political violent rhetoric, whatever the case may be. There's a lot to discuss.
There sure is. Yeah.
And a lot for J.D. Vance to have to answer.
Yeah, it certainly does. And the remarks have really, you know, set off a lot of people who are quite frankly, you know, clapping back. And, you know, they're not taking a lot of those comments sitting down. And that's even resulted in an uptick in voter registration after Taylor Swift announced her endorsement for Kamala Harris. Voter registrations spiked in Wisconsin. And then yesterday, before the apparent assassination attempt, he posted something on his own social media account about hating Taylor Swift, which would not seem terribly becoming of a 79-year-old candidate for leader of the free world.
No, not at all. Now, another story you're following is that local property tax levies in Wisconsin, the levies are up and at a historic level. And again, there's always multiple angles on this, but the levies themselves are up.
Yeah, and that would seem to be driven by a couple of factors, and that's higher prices in recent years, and also by schools, and that's what's going on there. Property tax levies went up by 4.6% statewide. This is according to the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Now that's almost double the year before, and exceeded the 1.4% inflation rate in 2023. That's according to the Policy Forum's newest analysis of property taxes.
All right. And then finally, there's a national crackdown on school bus passing violators.
Yeah. So it's a problem everywhere. And especially as we see, anecdotally, at least, I'm sure statistics would back this up, an uptick in reckless driving. And school bus drivers in particular are seeing more and more people passing stopped school buses. During the last school year, there was about 45 million violations across the country. The National Conference of State Legislatures says only 25% of the states across the country have laws designed to catch and punish motorists. Wisconsin is one of those that do. Fines range anywhere from $30 to $300, I think, depending on which, how many violations you've had in the past. Some school districts are taking safety measures a step further, implementing a new apparatus called Bus Gates, which is an extended arm that goes across the other lane when a school bus is stopped.
Wow. I mean, honestly, I still can't. Another one of those where you go, how is this still a thing? And yet it is, with terrible effects. Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director, with three things you need to know to get the week started. Terry, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Pat. Of course.
Great. And I have been absolutely tardy on telling you that there is a new Civic Media contest. Greg, I completely dropped the ball, which in this case would be a football. that there is a new Civic Media contest. So folks who have a phone and the Civic Media app, get it out or get set to write something down, because you can be part of the winning here as part of the new Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. And if you recall previous contests, again, you're using the app, you're getting a special keyword for that hour. Find one of the stations that carries Up North News Radio and text that keyword. And so without further ado, Greg, the word this hour is football. Oh, timing is everything in this business, isn't it? Football! It's football.
and you have 3 minutes. That,
yes, the grand prize is a pair of indoor club-level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd, against New Orleans. There are other jewelry giveaways, $100 cash giveaways, that I'm going to tell you more about in future days. But you should know that if you've got that Civic Media app, and if you text football right now using the Civic Media app, you're going to be entered for this hour's giveaway and for the grand prize as well, which would be a nice thing to win. This was a lot easier when I remembered it was baseball season. I still haven't gotten into football season yet, so the whole Green and Gold contest just kind of went right by me. But based on the way the texts are coming in fast and furious, Greg,
yeah,
I have nothing to fear.
Yep.
Y'all are paying attention. Y'all got the app and you're putting in that keyword to try to win cash or jewelry or tickets to see the green and gold. So what a smart audience we have.
They're the best. I hope they stick around for Matt and Air on Air.
I hope they do too. What are you going to be talking about as well as having the next keyword?
Oh, we're going to have the next keyword. We're going to be talking about all the news happening this past weekend and since Friday when we left the air. But we also have Andra Watkins coming back to the show. She's got a Substack about Project 2025 called How Project 2025 Will Ruin Your Life. And then we also have a soybean farmer named Doug Reboot. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. He'll be on at 11:06.
All right. You'll have that at 10 with Matt Nair on air. Thanks to all of you for being with us today on this Monday morning on Up North News Radio. We'll see you back here 6 a.m. tomorrow morning here up north. Have a great day.